My mum said there's an audition going for A Brand New Day with her friend, Jimmy Chai. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. And she said, oh, you should go and check it out. Because I wasn't planning on a acting career.
Yeah.
I was working towards being a rock star, you know, lead singer. That was my big dream as a child. I went for this audition and, you know, mum said, sing Walking After Midnight, Patsy Cline. So I practiced that because she knew that Uncle Jimmy was going to love that song. So I went in there and sang that song and I got a call back the week later, and they were starting rehearsals in Broome a week after. I was given 2 weeks to prepare to go on this humongous Australian tour. I was young and I was having the time of my life, and I pretty much learnt the ropes of theatre and everything on the road.
It's season 1, episode 3 of Songlines, and today we're sitting down with Della Rae Morrison. Della has always had a deep love for the arts, kick-starting her career in the stage production of Brand New Day and appearing as Miss Egg in the children's television series Lockie Leonard. Since then, she has worked as a musical director, community choir leader, vocalist for the award-winning group Diva, and co-creator of Chocolate Martini, an Indigenous music platform which ran as a series on National Indigenous Television. On top of it all, Della is a fierce social advocate, founding the West Australian Nuclear Free Alliance and establishing a Noongar version of the 10th Embassy to highlight the importance of truth-telling in WA. This is Songlines with Della Rae Morrison.
Hi, ngang Della Rae Morrison, ngang Bibbulmun Yok, ngang Bobokajoa Narajan, ngang Wadarandi, Goreng, Menang, Willaman. So basically I'm from many clans of the southwest of Western Australia, of the Bibbulmun Nation, and I was born in Narajan.
And Della is one of the coolest people I know and does lots of things, including acting and singing. And, I mean, those are the main two things I can remember in the arts. But then she also does lots of things that aren't in the arts because she's just that cool.
Yeah, it's a true story. I didn't pay her either to say
no,
that.
No, she didn't. I've just known her.
One of the things that I do as an actor, I've been in a few VRs now.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's a lot of fun. The first one I did was Wajuk VR.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, Mum.
And there's Gallop. That's with Poppy and Ian.
Yep.
Wilkes. And then this last one was with Glenn Stashek.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so that's something that I've enjoyed doing, some different medium. Last week I did Danju Kulin,
yeah,
the summit up at King's Park. So I had a healing tent for 2 days.
Oh, that's lovely.
And so I was joined by a couple of other healers and we just hung out in this beautiful space all day attending to people who needed, you know, some relaxation and some healing and some Reiki and Bowen and massage. So that's the other thing that I do, you know, that's a part of who I am. I've been doing that forever. Yeah, so it's my acting, my music and events managing. Yeah.
You do so many things.
Yeah.
All over the place.
It's just a touch.
Just a tip of the iceberg.
Exactly.
Tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
So our podcast spans the Noongar seasons, and in today's episode we find ourselves in Jerran, which is around about when the weather starts to cool down. Do you have any fond memories or specific things you've done during that season of Jerran over the years?
I guess sort of coming down from all the events, from all the entertainment, from all the performing, you know, time to start winding down and having a bit of a relaxation and, you know, paying attention to home and family and things like that, you know, and then seeing what else is on the horizon. Mm. So
I think we've spoken about this before. We've spoken about many things before, but you've said that you always had an eye on music. And I was wondering, when was the moment that you realized that music was a thing and it was a thing you wanted to keep doing?
Music has always been around in my life.
Mm-hmm.
My family constantly play music in every household that I walk into. There was always some country and western.
Oh, absolutely.
So I was pretty much brainwashed with all the country and western.
Mm, you're always going to fall in love with it somehow.
Yeah, so there was Charlie Pride and Emmylou Harris and Dolly Parton and Tammy Wynette.
Love some good Dolly Parton.
So all the legends I grew up with, so I know all those songs off by heart. So there was that side of things, and then there was the rock and roll.
Mm.
Yeah, so then there was Susie Quattro, and there was AC/DC and Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple, you know, all those rock and rollers.
Yeah.
So I grew up with all sorts of music, and then we all loved the disco in between.
Oh, of course. You gotta know, have some disco thrown
in. The 70s disco was the best.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, we've just grown up with all of that, love all of it. My favourite is 90s grunge. Can't get enough of that. And then I'll listen to some, you know, say some Muse or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I'll go and play some meditation music.
Yeah.
You know, in the evening and just chill out. And you know, I love Massive Attack and More Sheba and all that ambient sort of music as well. So all sorts. Except I don't like jazz.
Oh, really? Okay, I suppose we won't go into jazz then. So I guess like going off that, was there kind of anyone specifically who really inspired you to pursue music and to go for it?
My mother and my father, I suppose.
Mm.
My dad used to sneak in and sing songs to me. Plays guitar and sing, and it was like just to me. And then one day I started singing along with him. I think it was Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain by Willie Nelson.
Oh, wow.
And I think I was about 4 or 5, and then I started singing along with him, and then I was harmonising.
Oh, look at you go. Gosh, I don't think I can harmonise now, let alone I was 4.
No comment.
Oh!
Don't give up. Keep trying. So, and then he turns around and goes, oh, my baby, you harmonised.
Oh, that's so cute.
And so he made me feel really special. And then when I went to South Eden Primary School, I ended up singing in the school choir and doing all sorts of activities. I think that's where I started my whole career in acting and music and
everything.
Events managing.
Just life in general.
Yeah. That's where it all started.
So talking about your career specifically, one of your first gigs was the Jimmy Choo production of Brand New Day, which you got when you were 20.
You've done your research.
Well, yeah, I mean, I haven't. Someone else did it. But also, but also on that note, I remember talking about this when I got heckered because we were talking about how I was a similar age and how you understood how I couldn't stop talking about it because you said you were the same when you got Brand New Day.
Yeah, because I'm an old bag now, aren't I?
No, you're the... Point of the fact is, talk us through what it was like doing that for your first big gig.
Yeah. No, I'm very young at heart. My mum said there's an audition going for a Brand New Day with her friend, Jimmy Chai. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. And she said, oh, you should go and check it out. Because I wasn't planning on a acting career.
Yeah. It wasn't something you were like, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. I was working towards being a rock star.
Oh, yes.
Lead singer in a rock band. That was
the dream.
That was my big dream as a child and as a teenager and everything. So I went for this audition and, Mum said, sing Walking After Midnight by Patsy Cline. So I practiced that.
Mums always know things.
Yeah.
They really do.
Because she knew that Uncle Jimmy was going to love that song.
Oh.
So I went in there and sang that song and I got a call back the week later and they were starting rehearsals in Broome a week after.
Oh, wow, that was all
so
very quick.
It's like I was given 2 weeks to prepare to go on this humongous Australian tour.
Yeah. That's a wild time.
I was young and I was having the time of my life and I pretty much learnt the ropes of theatre and everything.
On that show.
Yep, on the road.
That's incredible, like doing kind of like a big touring show like that, especially one that there's such warmth to that show.
Yeah, yeah. I was very blessed and honoured to be a part of all of that, And Uncle Jimmy was a good friend of my dad's and my uncle's. They all went to Clontarf together. So he told me that before he passed away and he called me into his place and said, those boys in the movie? So that's me and your dad and your uncles. I was like, oh, my gosh.
You're going to make me cry.
Yeah, so he never said that. That's the first time he told me before he passed away.
Oh, wow, that's incredible.
So that was a beautiful, beautiful thing to be a part of. And then knowing that characters were based on
your family.
Yeah, Uncle Jimmy, Uncle Bumba, my dad, rest in peace. Well, to all those beautiful people and to my dad's brothers, they all were at Clontarf as teenagers.
Wow. Gosh, you're cool. In 2009, you launched a project called Chocolate Martini. The idea was to feature local and interstate First Nations musicians once a month at the bakery in Northbridge, which sadly the bakery in Northbridge doesn't exist anymore, but that's fine. We're going to pretend it does. How did the project come about? And also, most importantly, how did you decide on the name?
Yeah, that was great days. Chocolate Martini came about from a boring Saturday night, sitting on a balcony on a hot summer's night in about 2005 or something like that. And I just said to my partner at the time, we need to do something. We need to put an event on and have some Aboriginal bands.
Yeah.
So that's where it came from. And it just grew from there. And then this production company, Elephant Productions, were interested in filming it and, putting it on NITV. And so that's how it came about. And I like chocolate martinis.
I love that. Sometimes
just one, one.
Only the one.
Yeah.
Only the one. Not martinis, but a singular martini.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound as cool as a name. So.
Yeah.
More recently, you were in the 2020 production of Hecate with Yuri Arkin and Belle Shakespeare for Perth Festival, which dominated the 2021 Performing Arts Awards after it premiered. Mm. So you've been a part of that since the very beginning of that. And the role you played, for those who don't know, was the role of Hecate, Queen of the Witches. And she's often omitted from productions of Macbeth. What was it like playing that character, being in that production as a whole?
So it was 10 years or so in the making. So we had to learn our language from scratch, and we had to learn everything about the script of Macbeth and have a proper understanding of the characters and the storyline and everything like that, which I was totally disinterested in. But once we learnt the Noongar language and I started to get an understanding of Shakespeare and the story.
Sure. Yeah.
Just through learning my language.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's strange how that happened. And I became interested in Shakespeare through Hecate, the play that we did. So, and I wasn't expecting to play that role.
Really?
No.
Oh.
No.
My head, I was like, when I found out you were playing her, I was like, who else?
Oh, no. To me, Gina Williams was playing that role.
Oh, yeah, true.
She was playing that role, and I had my heart set on being a mischief maker.
You were like, that's it. I'm going to be the mischief maker.
That was
dead set.
I was going to be the mischief maker, and that was it. I wasn't playing Hecate or nothing. Gina was doing that role, and that was that. And so when Kylie came in and said, sis, you're going to play Hecate.
I can hear her saying that.
I was like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
She goes, yeah, sis, I'm not joking. You are. I was like, no, I don't want to. And so I started doing, had a little bit of a diva
That's fair.
Tantrum. Yeah.
That's fair.
And so I didn't have the choice but to play that role. Mm-hmm. And in finding my character for her, finding myself for her, there was lots of tears and lots of tantrums. What can I say?
I mean, fair.
You didn't see any of those, by the way, because I just set a good example.
I think I came in after.
Good. I'm glad you missed
that. Came in so late.
And then I found it.
You did. I remember the day you found it. I remember that.
I was like, there she is. There's the walk and the vibe and the character.
Yeah.
So it took many years to find her, and I think I did it.
I mean, you did win, for those who also don't know, you did win Best Actress that year too, which I feel like has to be mentioned. So clearly she didn't do that bad of a job.
Didn't you win Best Supporting Actor?
I won Best Supporting Actress and Best Comer.
Boom. Yeah.
But you won Best Actress.
Yeah, that was awesome. I don't really win anything ever.
I mean, it made sense. I was like, I think I was going to throw hands if you didn't.
Right. Yeah, no, that was a great night, great time. It was a nice surprise. So.
Mm.
And I worked my butt off.
You did. So, you worked so hard.
I reckon I deserved it.
I think you did too. And I had a good time playing your child. Because you played Lady Mac. Duff. McDuff.
Yeah.
I was like, no, not that one.
Yeah, no, I did.
Which I think was our best moment, truly. What's the mother child moment?
Yeah, no, we were superstars. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Actually, no, we all know the role I actually won those awards for.
Mm.
And it was for the role of the messenger. It was for walking across the stage to give the letter to Trevor.
Epic.
And finally remembering to do it, because it took me, what, the entire first half of rehearsals to remember to do it?
Yeah, yeah. No, there was a lot to remember in that show. And
you had a lot of monologues in that show.
Yeah, I did. And I want to do it again.
Same.
Watch this space.
Watch this space, everybody. Me and Della are calling it now.
Yeah.
It will happen again one day. But, yeah, that was a pretty incredible production to be a part of.
Yeah, thanks to Kyle Morrison and
Big Brains.
Carly Bracknell.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness it wasn't going to be the other show that they wanted, the other Shakespeare.
Wasn't it Othello?
Othello.
It's also very long, isn't it?
So they made the right
Also,
right
there wouldn't have been a role for me in there, so.
Yeah.
Clearly that's the true tragedy there. Another event that you have created, one of the many, many events you have created, is Blackout, which, can I just say, I love the name Blackout. So what is that event, for those who don't know, and how did it start?
That was through the city of Fremantle, Offa and Sarah. Awesome. Yorba.
Love them.
And it was for the 10 nights in Port,
yep.
Fremantle Festival. And, you know, we met and we spoke and talked about what we wanted to make happen.
Mm.
And that was to bring Aboriginal EDM dance music to the forefront,
yep.
And introduce that to the community, mm-hmm. And, you know, just say, hey, listen, here we are.
This is also what we do.
Yeah, we do this as well.
Yeah.
So that's where the idea came from, but it originally came from a young girl student of my partner Charlie's and Boss Arts Creative,
mm-hmm.
And her name's Ali, but her stage name is Iconics. And so, and she's sight impaired. So it was all to do with senses and feels.
Yeah.
And because she's blind, we called it Blackout.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of sensory things going on the night. We had Boss Arts Creative students painting people's faces as they came in.
Oh, that's cool.
The smoking as they came in. So you got that. And you got like little fingers sort of putting paint on your face, which is all fluorescent. So mm-hmm. It all glowed in the dark. We had everyone sitting down on the ground so they could feel the bass coming through
the ground.
Their body. And especially with Iconics' music, some of those really bassy parts, she slams down her walking stick.
And you can feel that in the air.
Yeah. And at the same time, the confetti machines went bang.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
You know.
Love and a good confetti machine.
And so it was all these senses. And then I think after that, Boss Arts went around and they went with the leaves, with the eucalyptus leaves, and went down everybody's back with the leaves.
Wow.
And it was such a hit. And
that then, sounds incredible.
And then it was all the artists, all the Aboriginal artists, the Merindas, Malakich, Kobe, Arthur Morrison, Joel Williams Davis, Aberrance, Boss Arts Creator was there, and I think I did a couple of songs. Hope I haven't missed anyone. And, you know, and they were all there to perform their EDM sets. We had a ball, and a lot of it was in language.
That's incredible. I remember being really salty I had to miss it, but no. I think I was salty about it.
Yeah, yeah, no.
We'll it sounded do it again. Incredible. Absolutely, and I will be at the door.
We're planning it again.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so just keep an eye out for
them. I will. I absolutely will, because I want to go. So you've mentioned them just then. Boss Arts Creatives is another one of your major projects. What is Boss Arts Creatives and what inspired the business?
Well, my partner, Charlie Caruso, she started out doing Boss Music, and that was to teach children vocals, you know, basically singing lessons. And then she was going to Whopper at Ab Theatre. And she was teaching vocal lessons there. And then we saw a gap where some of the students didn't get into mainstream Whopper, and they had to end up, you know, they do a year at Ab Theatre and then they don't get into mainstream and they end up going home and sort of just wasting their life, or just becoming very disheartened at everything and not being able to pursue their career.
Yep.
So that's when we decided, well, let's do Boss Arts Creative, and we can have invite all Aboriginal people, First Nations, young people, you know, older people, all ages, to come along and be a part of the arts. And they can learn singing and drama and dance, and they can perform. And so that's what, you know, we've been doing that for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I think you were in the first one.
No, the boys were.
The boys were.
I think.
Oh, once you again, did Ngalakadar.
I did Ngalakadar.
So we've had a few shows, and they get booked for all sorts of events.
That's incredible. So you have mentioned De La Mob a couple of times. Would you care to tell us what is De La Mob and how did it start?
Oh, it's just a fun singing group that, you know, we wanted to get together and just sing songs for the
They're very good, by the way.
And it was going to be like just whoever wants to come and sing with us, come along. That was the original idea, but now it's become this set group.
Yeah.
a core group of five of us. Yeah, and so we do acoustic and vocals and harmonies.
They're very beautiful.
Yeah.
I think I almost cried when I saw you perform at Denmark last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's about right.
Yeah. Denmark in June.
So that's a lot of fun.
And you guys are doing like so much at the moment. It's something I've talked about with a couple of the artists, and we've once again probably talked about it before, is that First Nations musicians and artists are the original storytellers in a lot of ways. The arts is embedded into our culture, the song, dance, storytelling. And so I think it's like, it makes a lot of sense how so many Indigenous people end up in the arts. And I was wondering, what are your hopes for the next generation of Indigenous creatives and artists?
I would really like to see those people who haven't had the, not the privilege, but who haven't had the opportunity to go into the arts. I'd like to see them get into it and pursue their dreams. Mm. That's what I hope for. One thing that I hope for, and I'd like to hopefully see my songs out there one day, launch an EP and that's my dreams as well.
I will buy all the copies. With that, thank you, Delaray Morrison, for joining us on Songlines. It has been a wonderful time. I hope you've had a fun time, because I've had a fun time too.
I have.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks to Delaray Morrison for sharing her stories on Songlines. Our producer is Danielle Raphael, and Kobe Morrison is our production consultant. My name is Cesare Krishnaz, host of Songlines. In episode 4, we hear from up-and-coming songwriter and youth advocate Indigo Ellis, the 16-year-old who is making and performing her own music in Noongar language. We learn all about how she manages to juggle the responsibilities of being a teenager with her passion for the arts. That's next time on Songlines.